Hey there, Rick Singeri of Vermont Edition. Just want you to know this podcast has been edited for brevity. Thanks for listening.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Montreal is one of the most important aircraft manufacturing hubs in the world, alongside Seattle and Toulouse, France. Bombardier is based in Montreal, and aircrafts are still assembled and shipped from this aerospace hub. And despite the ongoing trade tariff disputes and NAFTA non-negotiations between the U.S. and Canada, Vermont has long had its eye on the Quebec aerospace sector as a big partner in manufacturing. Vermont's aerospace industry accounts for nearly $3 billion in revenue each year. Now, that includes commercial airlines and airports, but it also includes all of the various manufacturers making parts and equipment for the aerospace industry. We don't really hear much about it, so today on the show we're going to learn more about what companies in Vermont are producing and some of the reasons business groups and the state are interested in growing this sector of Vermont's economy. Joining me now is Chris Kerrigan, Executive Director of the Vermont Aerospace and Aviation Association and Vice President of Business Development at the Vermont Chamber of Commerce. It's nice to have you on the program.
Thank you, Jane.
All right. So acknowledging that most of us listening to you right now are not steeped in this industry, can you give us sort of the plain's eye view of the aerospace landscape in Vermont? I mean, what does it look like?
Sure. Well, as you alluded to, it's a combined $2 billion aerospace manufacturing and civil aviation industry. And just to provide some statistics to which might be helpful to your listeners, we'll focus on civil aviation first. And according to the Federal Aviation Administration, the economic impact of civil aviation alone for Vermont includes $1.17 billion in economic output, accounts for and supports close to $300 million in earnings, and actually supports 9,500 direct jobs. Civil aviation, which, by the way, includes both private and commercial aviation. So everything included with that, including pilots, maintenance, repair, and overhaul technicians, and cabin crew, accounts for 2.2% of Vermont's gross domestic product. Now, Vermont's GDP last year was about $32 billion. So civil aviation is worth about $704 million. So on the other side, and as part of that equation, we have aerospace manufacturing, which is about $1 billion. And that is part of an overall $3 billion manufacturing economy.
Lots of numbers you're throwing
out. I know, it's lots of numbers. But, you know, manufacturing is so important to Vermont's economy. It really employs about 32,000 Vermonters, which accounts for about 10 point.
Manufacturing in total, not
in
aerospace.
In total.
Yeah, 32,000.
Yep, 32,000. And also accounts for $2.57 billion in exports, nearly two-thirds of all of our exports. Manufacturing and advanced manufacturing, too, are really important to our economy because of two multiplier impacts. The first one is economic. So every $1 in manufactured goods generates an estimated 1.37 worth of additional economic activity. Additionally, each manufacturing job supports an additional 1.6 jobs, and each advanced manufacturing job supports as many as 4.9 other jobs. So manufacturing really supports other related industries and is so very important to our economy.
All right. So you're selling us on manufacturing here.
Yep.
And obviously, aerospace is a big part of that. You mentioned something like 32,000 jobs in manufacturing in total in Vermont. And I think the numbers for the aerospace industry are like 10% of that is in aerospace.
Yeah. And actually, well, civil aviation, if we go back to civil aviation, that actually supports close to 11,000, both direct and indirect jobs, of which 9,500 are direct.
But in terms of manufacturing, then it's like another 3,000, 3,500 or so workers. So can you give us some examples of what is being manufactured here in that sector?
Yes. We've got some key players in the state. GE Aviation is obviously a big player in Rutland, and GE Aviation is manufacturing the blades and vanes, the fans essentially, using titanium and titanium aluminide.
And this is like what you see in a big aircraft if you're walking, you know, for example, at Burlington, you might actually walk out to the plane and you might be able to see those blades and vanes.
Inside the engines, yeah. They actually get inserted and integrated created as part of the GEnx engine, which then propels and forwards the Boeing 787 Dreamliner.
Got it.
So they are very important to Boeing. Boeing is one of their largest customers. And so Boeing, by the way, has a defined supply chain right here in Vermont with 23 suppliers, representing an $88.1 million spend for Boeing and supporting 2,700 jobs.
So not just GE, then they have other suppliers too who are making what? What are they making?
So Dynapower, for example, in addition to power storage and electronics, is doing anodizing and surface treatment for titanium aluminide. And we have other suppliers that are working on landing gears, electronics, and electronics for aviation is referred to as avionics. We have UTC Aerospace Systems in Vergennes, which is doing a lot of different things, but working on landing gears, sensing and sensor systems and devices that actually monitor and manage the health of the aircraft to make sure it stays in the air. So
Boeing is based in and around Seattle, right?
Correct.
So how do those parts actually get to Seattle? What does the actual transport chain look like?
Sure. So when we talk about supply chain really includes all of the processes, mechanisms involved in transforming raw goods into finished goods, parts and or components, and then taking them to market. And if we take a look at the aerospace industry supply chain, typically what you have at the top of the pyramid is a Boeing, okay, which we – or an Airbus. And we refer to them as original equipment manufacturers, OEMs. They in turn work with 2 to 3, 4 systems integrators that then in return farm out a lot of work to suppliers. And so that's – you know, the systems integrators will assemble the aircraft for the OEM.
I mean specifically, like are we putting these parts that GE is making in Rutland on a train and are they going by train to Seattle? Are we like flying these parts? Are we shipping them somehow?
We're doing everything. So with GE in particular, GE Aviation makes the blades and vanes that go in the GEnx engine. They get shipped down to the Lynn plant, the GE Aviation plant in Lynn, Massachusetts, where they then become assembled in part of the gas turbine engine.
And then go on to Seattle? Because we're not assembling, yeah, you know, Boeing
correct
planes here in
right
Vermont.
Correct. Yeah, they're being shipped by different methods.
So in Montreal, though, yep, there are planes that are actually being assembled. That is a big hub
correct
for aerospace and for actual plane manufacturing. And Vermont obviously has an eye to Montreal. We're very close. And this is a big and important part of our aerospace sector is working with Canadian companies and with that Canadian piece and sometimes multinational companies that have a presence in Canada. So what is that connection like?
Sure. So just to provide your listeners with some context, they really, you know, commercial aircraft are built from the ground up, from scratch, in really 3 locations in the world: Toulouse, France; Seattle, Washington, where Boeing is headquartered; and in and around Montreal, in Mirabel, Dorval, Saint-Hubert, Anjou, Mirabel, Longueuil as well. Bombardier is a significant OEM aircraft manufacturer, which actually just got acquired by Airbus. So Airbus was looking to capture market share actually in that mid-market space, acquired Bombardier, and is now lending its sales and marketing and supply chain and supplier capabilities to drive essentially the C-100 and C-300 series, that the mid-market, which they have just rebranded the A-220. There is a $13.8 billion Quebec aerospace cluster in and around Montreal. And that's part of an overall $28 billion Canadian aerospace industry. We have a $2 billion aerospace industry. There's every reason and opportunity for us to integrate and to link our industry with Montreal, with Quebec. And we're actually building a Vermont-Quebec aerospace trade corridor, which we're now extending down to Connecticut because we want to create a regional international aerospace hub. And Vermont is part – it's the nexus. It's of this trade corridor.
You know, when we were doing research for a similar show like this that we didn't do a couple of years ago, it looked like in terms of revenue, the aerospace sector in Vermont was about the same. I mean, we were looking at a $2 billion aerospace sector in Vermont two or three, 4 years ago. So is it actually growing, or are we sort of in stasis here?
Oh, no, it's growing. And through our work, we're really transforming the state into a supply chain hub. So we're bringing a lot of these OEMs, including Bell Flight, formerly Bell Helicopter and Boeing, to Vermont because we have a program that is serving up pre-qualified suppliers for them. Over the last 10 years, a lot of these OEMs have been reducing the number of suppliers that they've been working with, supplier consolidation. And in doing so, they've really missed out on new innovations and technologies. Now they're looking to engage pre-qualified suppliers in order to optimize their global supply chains. They're looking for that next best technology or thing. And our program is doing that.
So we've talked a little bit about some of what's being manufactured here in Vermont, and it seems like mostly on the civil aviation side. What about military? I mean, we have companies that are making aircraft weapons, other types of things for the aviation sector, but for specifically for the military. So what's being done in Vermont on the military side?
Sure. I'll give you a great example. UTC Aerospace Systems that I just mentioned, based in Vergennes and formerly Goodrich, is actually manufacturing the HUMS device, which is the health and usage monitoring system, which is actually used on the Vermont Army National Guard's, of course, the Black Hawk helicopter. And that, again, monitors and manages the health of the overall aircraft so that the aircraft can stay longer in the air. And when they're doing, for example, search and rescue missions, that's really important. That's saving lives.
So that's one. I understand that doesn't UTC also make some other things? Oh, no, General Dynamics makes mm-hmm. Parts for the F-16s, does weapons capability, maybe even some sort of landing gear as well?
No, actually, General Dynamics Ordnance and Tactical Systems, GDOTS, actually does a lot of project management for the manufacturing of weapon systems for the F-16 and even the F-35. And then we have other suppliers throughout the state that are manufacturing, for example, fuel gauges and probes, both for commercial and military applications.
So it must be, at least from a business perspective, and speaking here only from a business perspective, a good thing for Vermont's aviation sector that President Trump wants to increase spending on defense and increase the defense budget. I mean, that's good for Vermont's bottom line in terms of the aerospace sector.
Yeah, definitely for those suppliers that are focused on a mix of both commercial and military. We have been dealing with, for example, some challenges recently, such as the tariffs.
Talk more about that, and then we'll come back to
sure.
the defense spending. But how are the tariffs affecting Vermont in terms of this particular sector?
Right. So the U.S. has levied two tariffs against Canada, including a 25% on steel and 10% on aluminum. The Vermont Chamber does not support these tariffs. The tariffs, we feel, are not helpful, and they create uncertainty, and uncertainty is not good for business. The manufacturers that I work with that are impacted, that are sourcing from Canada, have raised their prices respectively. And so those prices, that increase is going to be it's going to be felt throughout the supply chain. So we are very hopeful that Canada is included in the renegotiation. And as we all know,
of NAFTA,
the North American Free Trade Agreement, and which has been extended for another 90 days. And it's my understanding that the first trigger and whether or not Canada will know whether or not Canada is included will be at the end of this month. So, you know, Canada is our number one trading partner. We export about $1 billion worth of goods to Canada, and 19,000 Vermont jobs depend on our trade and investment with Canada. So, you know, we've been working on this aerospace trade corridor since we formalized it in 2013. We're confident that our cross-border partnerships with our Canadian partners will endure, but we're also very hopeful that Canada will be included.
You mentioned the import tariffs on steel and aluminum for Vermont companies that are sourcing materials from Canada. What about the retaliatory tariffs that Canada has imposed? I mean, I know things like maple syrup and ketchup, but what about for what Vermont is actually exporting to Canada in this sector?
Well, I can only, you know, speak to the experience that I have with our manufacturers. It's too soon to really know.
But aren't
really
they sending parts that to Montreal, to the aerospace sector in Montreal?
Yeah, a lot of these parts actually cross the border 5 to 7 different times. So it's very complex. And so we're hopeful that, you know, the tariffs will be repealed, you know, through the renegotiation. So we'll just have to wait and see.
I want to highlight that because that's really interesting that these parts, as they go back and forth from one manufacturer to another and back to presumably, you know, the one component is made in one place and then maybe something else is layered on top of it and then it has to go back and forth. That's
correct.
Pretty fascinating.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the same can be said for the automotive industry.
Sure. We're talking today about aerospace industry in Vermont and looking at this aerospace corridor with Canada, Montreal, obviously a hub for the aerospace sector. Our number, if you want to share your perspective or your questions, is 800-639-2211. Bob is on the line with us from Rutland. Hi, Bob. Go right ahead.
Oh, thank you. Just want to ask your guest, what innovations has the innovation of the aviation industry made in the area of toxic release inventories? I know the last TRI here in Rutland for the two GE plants, they had about 16,900 pounds of chemicals, mainly nickel, chromium, and lead. And I just wonder what any new innovations have been done to address that.
Bob, thanks for the question. And the toxic release inventory is a public database, and companies are required to submit to the database if they produce or handle more than a certain amount of toxic chemicals. So what about that, Chris?
So I can't speak to that because I'm not an expert on that.
So no innovations that you've heard about in terms of toxic materials and green technology?
Definitely on recycling of water. So a lot of our manufacturers are recycling, reusing water, and that's one innovation. The other, you know, innovations that come to mind fall under advanced manufacturing. One of the big ones in the aerospace industry is 3D printing and using metal. So I recently met with Norse Titanium over in Plattsburgh, and they're doing 3D metal printing for actually Airbus and Boeing. And 3D metal printing is actually a real paradigm shift for the casting industry. So once you get past volume and speed, it's going to revolutionize things.
We're talking with Chris Kerrigan, Executive Director of the VAAA. Do you say it like that or do you say
VAAA.
That's the Vermont Aerospace and Aviation Association. He's also Vice President of Business Development at the Vermont Chamber of Commerce. And on the line with us now is Brian Duby. He's the founder and chair of the VAAA and a pilot for American Airlines. He also does business development for Liquid Measurement Systems based in Georgia, Vermont. And yes, this is the Brian Duby you know as the four-term lieutenant governor. Brian, it's nice to have you back on the show.
Nice to be on the show, Jane.
Can you tell me, first of all, a little bit about what Liquid Measurement Systems makes and specifically this sensor that can sort of telescope? I really want to hear about that.
Liquid Measurement Systems is a Vermont-founded company that has been in existence for over 20 years. We build fuel systems for aircraft, civilian aircraft, military aircraft. We deal with companies like Bombardier and Airbus and Boeing. We're a direct supplier to Boeing on some of their aircraft. And as I said, we have diversified. We started out primarily on the military side, but like a lot of Vermont companies, the commercial side is actually experiencing more growth. So we supply the commercial side of aviation also.
Hmm. And what about this specific sensor that is inside the gas tank that, in the event of a crash, won't pierce the gas tank?
Yeah, it's one attribute of our particular design for Liquid Measurement Systems. We go on a military helicopter. You have to have a crash-worthy, ballistic-tolerant fuel bladder, which means that that the bladder, if the helicopter was to experience a crash, The real threat is after the crash. If the bladders that the fuel tanks ruptured after the crash, you could have a post-crash fire. So our system is designed to protect the air crew and passengers on military and commercial aircraft by having a design that has a bladder with a gauging system that will stay intact after, God forbid, a crash.
Hmm. I think we've caught you today, Brian. You're down in Dallas, right? Didn't you fly to Dallas today? So you're actually working today in addition to talking with us.
Yeah, well, actually, I'm in a simulator for 3 days. I get to demonstrate to the FAA that I'm responsible enough to fly for another 9 months, every 9 months. But I'm like a lot of Vermonters. You know, I have a couple different hats, and VAAA has been a great way for us to come together as an aerospace community. We formed it 12 years ago. We've had a lot of Vermont companies have joined our association. And I'd love to give you a plug of some of the other. I know Chris has done a great job, but I'd love to give you an overview of some of the other companies that are really a part of the Vermont Aerospace and Aviation Association, Jane.
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Well, starting in Brattleboro, Vermont, G&S Precision, one of the largest machine shops in the country, in our state, in our region, actually New England, and they supply 787, direct supplier to Boeing. And you go across the Route 9 over to Bennington, you got Command. They make composite components for all kinds of aircraft. Command is a really thriving company in Bennington, Vermont, part of the Composite Valley, we call. Heading up Route 7, GE has already touched upon. And to add a little bit of depth to what Chris has already told you about the supply chain, the complexity of the supply chain, when the vanes and guides actually leave GE, they go to Sherbrooke, Quebec for some testing and some coding, and then they go back to Lynn, Mass. And I was actually in Dorval in Montreal when I was in office, and I saw the 1,000th regional jet, Bombardier jet, coming off the assembly line. And the president of Bombardier at the time turned to me and said, "What do you think of that, Brian?" I said, "I love it because that's got a GE Rutland, Vermont turbine blade in the back, and that's something we all can be really proud of." There's UCAS, we already talked about, a huge company, does really well in Vergennes, Vermont. Mansfield Heliflight's an interesting company. Georgia, Vermont, they buy helicopters around the world that have either been in a crash or need refurbishing. They refurbish them in Georgia, and they sell them worldwide. Just a small Vermont company doing some great things with Revision Technologies. Most people probably don't know, but Revision Technology makes protective eyewear for people like me to protect them against laser threats. They also produce eyewear that goes on the space station to protect our astronauts from lasers or other kinds of harmful emissions in space. STC up in St. Albans. St. Albans makes ceramic components for the space sector. Lord in Williston, Vermont, makes speed and torque sensors and does some really interesting energy harvesting on rotating components on aircraft. So those are some of the just highlights of some of the great stuff that's happening in Vermont, Jane.
Well, Brian, is Vermont particularly innovative, or is this actually, I mean, if you were trying to pump up the industry in any other state in the nation, would you be saying the same types of things? I mean, different innovations for sure and different sort of portions of the sector, but is Vermont indicative of the national landscape here, or is there something different about Vermont's aerospace sector?
Well, we have a legacy in the machine tool industry, and some of that, when Chris talks about expanding his supply chain, the Precision Valley, which is I-91 corridor, has a long history of innovation in machine tool. And that really spawned some of the innovation and some of the leadership that we have in the aerospace sector. We used to, and my dates, my numbers are a little bit dated, and I stand to be corrected by any of your listeners, but we used to lead the country on a per capita basis in terms of patents that were granted. Largely that was part of IBM, but Global Foundries is still doing innovation. And Global Foundries, the former IBM facility, is still in the aerospace business, and they do business with Boeing and other aerospace manufacturers. So, yeah, we are an innovative state. We have to. I just know at Liquid Measurement Systems, if we rely on our past innovations, we're not going to survive. The whole industry demands cheaper, better, faster, stronger, safer. So we're constantly, from my firsthand experience at Liquid Measurement Systems, what we built in the past will not meet the standard going forward. Now, granted, they're incremental advances in technology, but it's critical to the survival in this sector. The caller that called from Rutland that asked about emissions, as an example, the 787, where the turbine components that come out of Rutland, Vermont, the 787 uses 25% less fuel than the current industry standard. And that's another example where the aerospace industry, because of the need for green, the need for more efficiency, is doing their part to innovate, and they have to, or they won't be competitive in today's marketplace, Jane.
Well, Brian, I really appreciate you taking the time out as you're trying to prove that you can still do your job down in Texas to talk with us today. Thank you very much for your perspective and insight.
You're welcome. And I'm going to do great today. So thank you, Jane.
Good. That's Brian Duby, who's a pilot for American Airlines. He's also the founder and the chair of the VAAA, and he works for Liquid Measurement Systems based in Georgia, Vermont. And we're talking today about the aerospace sector with Chris Kerrigan, who is executive director of the VAAA, the Vermont Aerospace and Aviation Association. And we're looking at what is done in Vermont on the manufacturing side in aerospace. Chris is calling in from Jericho. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hi, Jane. Hi, Chris. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call. My question is really not to downplay the impact of off-airport aerospace business, because I think certainly the contributions of those companies that Chris and Brian just mentioned have been tremendous. But I think in most places around the world, the aerospace clusters that have been most successful tend to be around an airport with multiple companies providing opportunities for exchange of knowledge, employees going from one company to another around an airport. And I'm curious to get Chris's perspective on the lack of a formal development plan at the state's airports, and in particular, Burlington Airport being the largest one in the state, and whether that he's seeing that as a hindrance to the future development and strengthening of the aviation sector in Vermont.
Chris, thanks very much for your call and question. Chris Kerrigan?
Sure. Well, Chris, thank you for that question. It actually dovetails into something I really want to talk about, and that's the global maintenance, repair, and overhaul market, which is projected to reach $100 billion by the year 2023. In 2017, airlines spent about $70 billion on maintenance, repair, and overhaul, and 23% of the spending was on aircraft in the sunset portion of the life cycle. So for Boeing, we're looking at the 737, 747, and 757. Aftermarket revenue growth from maintenance, repair, and overhaul is also a major priority for aircraft OEMs such as Boeing. Boeing recently created its new global services division, which wants to capture $50 billion of that $100 billion global market opportunity. Last year, the Vermont Chamber of Commerce worked extensively and lobbied and was successful in making permanent the aviation sales tax exemption, which is 6%. And so we, at present, have an aviation sales tax exemption on the sales / purchase of commercial aircraft, and also on the parts, equipment, and machinery for both private and commercial. So that's a huge market opportunity for us to recruit aircraft maintenance companies to not only our 10 owned state airports, but also the Burlington International Airport. One recent success story is Hilt Aviation. Jamie actually relocated his company from New York to the Bennington State Airport. And so he's doing maintenance, repair, and overhaul on private aircraft, fixed wing. And we need more success stories like that to grow this industry. There is an emerging maintenance, repair, and overhaul cluster in and around the Burlington International Airport. So we've got key players, including Aviatron, which does refurbishment of parts and components for airlines, including American Airlines, Delta, and Lufthansa. We have Heritage Aviation, which is doing maintenance, repair, and overhaul on private jets, as well as providing other additional value-added services. Brian mentioned Mansfield Heliflight. And then we've got about 20 to 25 additional maintenance, repair, and overhaul companies spread throughout the state. But I'm also working with the Vermont Agency of Transportation on a marketing plan in order to market and promote the 10 owned state airports. And so that is in work in progress. And that, for those of you who follow the State House, that was H-620. And so it was made into law. So we're on it.
Let's take another call here from Jack in Virgins. Hi, Jack. Go right ahead.
Hello. Good morning or good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, I'm actively involved with the Vermont aerospace community here in Virgins at United Technologies Aerospace. Just a quick anecdotal story I heard at the beginning of the program of how does the supply chain work. It was interesting in that I was hand-carrying Vermont-made parts from the fab here in Virgins to the FedEx office in Burlington to ship to Boeing to put on a an aircraft that was earmarked for Federal Express freighters. And so it was a kind of a, you know, circle of life kind of thing to watch parts that were being made in Vermont being shipped via FedEx to go to Boeing in Seattle to be turned into FedEx airplanes to keep delivering parts over and over again. It was kind of a funny story. Brian Doobie, I hope you're still listening. You should know that I was out at Boeing the past for 3 weeks out of the past 5 months, talking about 737 parts and how to keep those aircraft flying for not just you but all the airlines that are using that product. My real comment, though, and Mr. Kerrigan, I'd appreciate your input on this, is back on the 5th of September, Governor Scott came to our facility and had a tour and was really quite taken aback about the complexity of the work and the education levels and the community involvement that our employees have, not just here in Vergennes, but in the broader Vermont areas. And one of the things that we fed back to the governor was that our ability to have a trained workforce here in the state, and what were some of the initiatives that are going on to help get trained employees to support some of these aerospace industries?
Well, Jack, I appreciate your question, and especially because we're running out of time, and that was the question I wanted to ask Chris Kerrigan. You did it better than I could. So, Chris, what about a workforce development? Big, big key to this puzzle.
Yes, and Vermont is facing not only a workforce labor shortage, but also a skills gap. We have an aging population, a declining high school student graduation rate. So we obviously need to recruit workforce to Vermont. And in the meantime, what the Vermont Chamber is doing is we are actually doing workforce development matchmaking with Vermont Technical College. We are matching students and soon-to-be graduates in advanced manufacturing with our exhibitor employers at our upcoming annual supply chain conference and trade show for jobs. Last year, we placed 4 students in jobs and additional students in internships, and we facilitated 36 interviews for 12 students. We're continuing
but
that.
But 4 students and 36 interviews is not going to cover the gap.
It's not. But that's what we're able to do given the resources and funding that we have. And everything that we do is made possible by the financial support of our members and sponsors. But yes, we need to do a lot more.
And do you see that coming through? I mean, if you want to grow this pipeline and this corridor, you also need to have the workforce development starting now to fill those jobs when
Correct.
They become available.
Yep. And Vermont Technical College is doing a great job, especially in the trades. And this dovetails especially into aerospace. It's also creating programs. And I am working with Boeing on a potential training program, certified training program for Vermont. If we can get it off the ground, it's going to train pilots, cabin crew, and maintenance, repair, and overall technicians. And would be able to recruit students to Vermont and then feed them to the Boeing suppliers that we have in Vermont. So we got to build the specific programs.
That's Chris Kerrigan, Executive Director of the VAAA, the Vermont Aerospace and Aviation Association. He's also Vice President of Business Development at the Vermont Chamber of Commerce. Thanks very much for talking aerospace with us today.
Thank you, Jane.